Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dave and Chris, and we're coming to you from our Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, Oregon. And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Barbecue Nation and Sun and Vision radio networks. We've had her on here before, and she's a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine. Lene Oxley-Loop is with us today, and we're going to be talking to Lene, see what she's been up to and with her business venture, Sugar's Barbecue, and just shortly. Also, Painted Hills Natural Beef is one of our segment sponsors here. Beef the way nature intended. And a little music today from Little River Band. I know it's an oldie but goodie, but I always liked them. When I used to do rock and roll radio, I always managed to get some of those in there. Anyway, Lene, welcome.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. So what you been doing?
What haven't I been doing? a little bit of traveling and lots of catering and getting ready for another banging season.
Yeah.
With Sugar's Barbecue. Lots of backyard barbecue classes scheduled on the works and in the works. And I've got my product line just expanding. I just signed on with another distributor.
Good.
So I'm going to have a lot more coastal reach and maybe mid United States, which is going to be really great. So that's going to get my product out. And so I've been working on that.
Yep.
What else have I been working on? Trying to have a home life and a marriage, which is good.
You can't do that.
Yeah, and then have some time for myself too. So a little bit of everything, and myself, my own time generally is encompassed with barbecue, all things barbecue. I kind of wake up thinking about it, go to sleep thinking about it. It's Sugar's is a part of who I am. So,
see, you got to play golf or something like that.
I would love to learn how to play golf, but it just seems like it takes a long time. And I don't really have, at this point in time, a long time to devote to a game, but I really like to do that.
I find that like going to the driving range or something on the way home, just for 45 minutes, it just takes the edge off.
Decompress.
Yep. Just like that. And it usually takes me that long to hit at least one decent shot. I will tell you that. So I actually had a question, not directed specifically at you, but one of our listeners emailed me the other day. And he said, when your guests are talking on the show, talking about their products and their trials and errors and stuff, how long does it usually take for them to develop something? So like, for example, your sauces, which are great.
Thank you.
I have one right here. Imagine that. Lene brought me a sauce. Rodeo candy from Sugar's Barbecue. Good sauce, by the way. And so how long does it take you to develop that? And kind of walk us through the process briefly of what you have to do to when you finally say, this is good, it's ready to go.
Sure. So, I mean, as a chef, I can whip out recipes really quickly. I can come up with formulations and recipes and things like that really fast. When it comes to putting something out on the market that people are going to use, that everyone has a different taste. Mm-hmm. Some people want spicy. Some people want sweet. Some people don't want sweet. There are a lot of different variables involved with trying to come up with a product that will please a lot of different palates.
Sure.
Be used a lot on different applications. In this particular case, a barbecue sauce. So not everyone's going to use it on a grill, cooker, smoker. Some people are going to use it in their crock pot or their Instapot or their oven or their stovetop or, you know, toaster oven or whatever. So it's really about trying to come up with something that will just satisfy the masses, project what you want in terms of a signature flavor, because everyone has a signature flavor. Some people want a little more molasses or a little more brown sugar. Some people want a little bit more tang. Or maybe a combination of spices that they use to signify their own specific signature line, right? Oh, that's theirs. You know, they have a lot of cinnamon or they use a lot of thyme or cumin or whatever. All right, so So I can nail out these formulas really fast. But when it comes to developing something, for me at least, I want to test it like day in, day out, test it on every cooking application that I can. Pellets, live fire, indirect, direct, oven, Instapot,
yeah, you know, blowtorch, all
those things. And so with everything I do. So as far as time frames are concerned, a lot of times I'm taking 6, 8, 12 months, you know, a year and a half.
Right.
Also, it's about timing in terms of what you have going on. There's a lot that goes into putting a sauce or a spice in a jar with a label to a retailer. I mean, there's a lot behind the scenes. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of back and forth with designing labels and going to co-packing and R&D and
UPC codes.
Yeah, and all everything. Right. There's a lot. So it can take years. It can take a year. It can take months.
Mm-hmm.
If you really know how to streamline the process and you've got something already in the works. If I want to add different products, which I have a couple more different products that I'm going to add in the next couple of months, it's a lot easier because you know the routine. You can nip it in the head, you know, before you get the back and forth with the co-packer. The co-packer itself themselves have their own line of quality assurance that they need to adhere to that you've got to abide by.
Sure.
So a lot of times maybe your label doesn't get approved and you've got to redesign your label with statements and declarations and nutritionals, things like that. So you've got to make sure that you take care of those guys too. They're packaging your product. They want to make sure that you have, that they are, that they, you know, that their name is going to be on it as well. So, so it can take quite a while and then a lot of money. So people don't do this a lot of times to get really rich. You know, for me, it's been really a matter of getting my brand into somebody else's hands and getting it out to the masses that don't necessarily want to take a class or book us for catering. And a lot of people have heard about me nationwide, regionally, so they want to try products that I use on my barbecue and on my grilling at home, as well as products that I've been very influenced heavily by the competitive part of my life as well as a barbecuer.
Do you ever find that, let's just take a sauce, and you've developed this sauce, and it's gone through your trials at home, and you've tested it on friends and family or whoever, whatever your process is, mm-hmm. there. But that when it gets to the co-packer and they finally say, okay, here's a sample, and it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that? Because I went through that. And as I told you before, you know, I developed some spices a long time ago. I don't do it anymore. And a great co-packer. But for some reason, when they did the quote-unquote chemistry, which is what it is,
yep.
It didn't come out the same. And so we fixed it. But at first, it didn't come out the same.
Yeah. So essentially, the way that you cook, you make a sauce at home, right? Say, for instance, you make a sauce or a marinade. The way that you cook it on the stovetop in a saucepan is going to be very, very different than the way that they cook it when they're doing 60, 80, 100 gallons of it at a time.
Big vats.
They have big, huge, vats, basically pressurized steam kettles.
Right.
The way that you, for instance, one of the techniques that a lot of chefs use is they make what they call a gastrique. And a gastrique essentially is, for the most part, is a sugar vinegar reduction. And sometimes there's vegetables like onions and garlic and that sort of thing that's added. But essentially, that's a reduction. They're not necessarily or caramelizing a sugar or in order which you add products. And I can't speak for every co-packer, but to a certain extent, some co-packers are not going to repeat the application that you have or the methodology that you have with making that recipe.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to follow, add this ingredient, then this ingredient. And in some cases, they're going to dump everything into the vat at one time and heat it up for a certain length of time and maybe grind it up or spin it up or something or strain it. And then they're going to pump it into bottles or cans or whatever you're going to, you know.
Yeah.
So to a certain extent, it's you've got to the back and forth that I spoke of earlier. You've got to adjust the formulation, what they call the formulation, which is like, you know, technical term for recipe. It's not a recipe. It's a formulation. So maybe in one of my recipes at home or my commercial kitchen, I'm adding 1 cup of this and 2 cups of this and 5 ounces of this. Well, that may, for maybe a few cups, maybe a gallon of product, the final product. What they're doing on 60, 100 gallons, that's not necessarily going to translate. Maybe they're using a different kind of pepper. Maybe their cumin is a little stronger than the one that you're using. So on and so forth. So there's a lot of R&D back and forth, and they want to dial that in as best that they can so that matches, I mean, exactly what you're doing, what you want to portray, what you want to get in your recipe to the bottle.
There you go. We're going to take a break here. Lene and I will be back here on Barbecue Nation and tickling your ears over the airwaves right in just a few minutes. Please stay with us.
It used to be so easy to be your lover. We wandered through the days like they had...
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. Off the air, we were talking about quality of life, and we'll probably get to that in the after hours because that's kind of funny. If you want to check out our new website, which is BarbecueNationJT.com. That's Barbecue Nation. It's BBQNationJT.com. No hyphens or anything else. Small case letters. We'll work on that. If you'd like to email us, it's BBQ@SalemPDX.com. On SoundCloud, you can just look up BarbecueNationJT. There you go. Facebook, same thing, Barbecue Nation JT. And on Twitter, it's Barbecue Nation @BarbecueNation. There you go. Sometimes you just Barbecue Nation, you know, like that. Last time you were here, we were able to talk a little bit about barbecue brawl, but you were kind of cloistered a little bit about what you could say.
Right.
So the whole experience, from what I gathered the last time you were here, and since we've talked on the phone a couple of times, was really good. But kind of give us a review of that and how you ended up on that deal.
Well, the short of it is that once you're on one of the television shows like Chopped or one of the other Food Network shows, and they like you and you draw a good viewership, because that's right. What it's all about, right?
Right.
You're kind of in their crosshairs a little bit, and they tend to sort of think of you with upcoming shows and ideas and concepts that they want to do. So I was one of those people, and still am to a certain extent. They called me for a barbecue brawl, and it's very splintered. They have a casting people that they hire that do the casting. They have an initial filter of casting. They kind of go out there, find talent that they call talent. They do a little rough filtering, then you make it to the next step, and then you do a little bit more fine tuned casting, you know, interviews, things like that, Skype and whatever. Then you finally make it on the show. So essentially, if you've been on a show and they like you, chances are you're going to get on another show. And that's kind of what happened with Barbecue Brawl. And Barbecue Brawl was a lot of fun. It was hard. Uh-huh. It was filmed in Austin, Texas, a little outside of Austin. It was amazing. They had hired, privately booked this ranch that does a lot of private events, and they do a lot of television shows, things like that. Unbelievably cool ranch. Just like Wild Wild West Town. Just awesome. And we did a week-long contest, essentially, with a bunch of barbecuers, well-known, competitive, and one largely unknown in the competition scene, but really well-known in the Instagram scene. And she's a hell of a cook. And so I had a lot of fun with that show. It was hard, but it was a lot of fun. And of course, Bobby Flay and Michael Simon were on that show too.
Right. So how is Bobby?
Bobby is a cool guy. People think he's a little standoffish. I mean, I'm not best friends with the dude. I cooked alongside him and got a chance to have wonderful conversations with him. But to see him up close and personal, doing his thing, cooking, which is what he's known for, was a treat. I mean, I got a first row seat to seeing what he does. Also with Michael, these guys are both Iron Chefs. They've earned their medal. They can cook. They can cook anything, anywhere. And to be inspired, as long as, you know, somebody like myself who's been in the business for a long time, I love cooking. There's anything I can't cook. But to see these guys working their craft was awesome. So they're both really great guys.
Have you got any more? Got any more offers to do shows?
Not currently, no. I know that Barbecue Brawl is filming for another season, so which is great that they got picked up for another season. I think it's a really good show. I think it definitely has legs.
Yeah.
Gives a little bit more of a refreshing look about barbecue, and it's not kind of the regurgitated same old barbecue kind of Pitmastery thing that was, you know, that sort of spearheaded.
They're still
this
running
whole thing.
Those old shows.
You know, I get people calling me and booking me all the time. I mean, Pitmasters was an amazing show. It was an amazing movement. It influenced so many people to get out of their living rooms and get into barbecue and grilling,
right,
and into competition. Unbelievable show. And I, to my dying days, I mean, that's the, one of the best experiences of my life. Unbelievable.
So, which leads me to another question, kiddo. And I've talked about this with Emily Detweiler, with Meathead, with Greg, with everybody. We have about 70 million people in this country that cook outdoors, mm-hmm. roughly. I mean, it's not an exact number, obviously. Not all of them are want to compete, you know. Competing is more for the honor than the money at this point. You know, it could turn into big money someday, but right now it's not that big as far as dollars to win and stuff. More prestige, but that's cool. That's all right. But we've got all these people. So if you take all the people that compete and stuff, that still leaves about 69,750,243 people left to reach out and get them to learn a little bit more from people like us. You know, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. How do we do that? How do we reach out to those people? Because Barbecue Brawl, again, you guys are professionals. Pitmasters was all kind of geared towards competition. And
yeah, it was all competition.
You know,
yeah,
and all
absolutely.
That stuff. So how do we get to the people that are, you know, they're living in an apartment, but they've got a Weber out on their little balcony that they can cook on?
Yeah.
Maybe it's gas, maybe it's charcoal, something like that. Maybe they've still got a hibachi like we used to have in school years ago.
We had one growing up, absolutely. Those little heavy, you know, yep. little tiny little things you can fit maybe a couple of drumsticks on or a skewer too.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
You know, and you got drunk and then you forgot that it was on there and then it just ruined it.
Yeah.
But how do we reach out to those people and help them really develop? I mean, it's got to be up to them if they want to put the time in to do it.
Sure.
I get that. But how do we keep their interest keen in grilling?
Well, I think to a certain extent, it starts with being inspired, right? So
right.
you want to be inspired. You know, one of the things these people on the shows, the production companies, the casting people on these shows really do a great job of is picking a good range of different kinds of styles of cooking, styles of people.
Right.
And so that will get viewership and that will maybe influence somebody who maybe doesn't really cook very often, but maybe wants to get better. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody really likes the way I do it. They like my personality. They like the way that I'm featured on a show. They like the way I cook, et cetera. Maybe they want somebody that's a little bit more, you know, gruff and a little bit more aggressive. You know, they respond to that. Okay. So you influence people on early stage of the game. And I mean, almost everybody has a TV, a phone, a tablet, whatever. They can watch these shows. Not only can they watch these shows, it gets into their living room, gets into their eyes. They get influenced. They start reaching out. Maybe they want to get into a pellet grill. Maybe they have they're in a balcony. They have an apartment with a balcony, no live fire, no charcoal, whatever.
Right.
I get it. So, but they can still maybe look into cooking some chicken on a pellet cooker, you know?
Yep.
And okay, so fast forward a little bit, where I come in, I believe, is I have barbecue classes and I really gear these classes to the backyard barbecue, or not necessarily the seasoned barbecue pro,
right.
although I've got people like that attending my classes, and they're not competition classes.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to pick this up again with Lene Oxley-Loop from Sugar's Barbecue up in, across the river, I should say, just across the ditch in Washington.
That's where I'm at.
That's where you're at. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away. Hey, everybody. It's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Sun and Envision Radio Networks. I'm JT. Today we've got Lene Oxley-Loop with us, and we'd like to thank our friends at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef just as nature intended, and that is true. You can check them out at paintedhillsnaturalbeef.com. What were we rambling about before we went to break before? About bringing people in. And we were talking a little bit about that when we were off the air. But my point is, I really think it's important to do what you're doing, is to bring, to share. They, you know, people see you on TV, they see you in public, they do this and that. And I know that other people are doing it too in different parts of the country. You know, they just want to be able to cook a good steak, for example. They've got a gas grill and they want to be able to cook a good steak, or they want to be able to cook a good chicken leg for the picnic or whatever. Some people want to go further than that, but just to get those basics down. Sometimes I think all us hotshots in the barbecue business kind of neglect that a little bit with them.
I agree. And I think to a certain extent, I think with when people get into barbecue or grilling, you know, they kind of overthink things. I mean, I know I did early on. You know, you watch all these videos. There are tons of videos online. There are tons of information. You know, I've gotten to the point, I've kind of seen this lifespan where initially people were kind of reluctant to share information. You know, kind of closed off everything, right. secret, to the point now where people are just putting everything out on videos, vlogs and videos and books and things like that. And they're just spilling all the beans, all the secrets, right? This is how you get the great steak. This is your secret injection for your pork or your ribs,
right.
or whatever. That sort of thing. And there are no or fewer secrets. So it's really about when it comes down to the idea of cooking. And especially with competition barbecue, it's really about how you're cooking and your tenderness values and things like that. But for the everyday backyard or barbecue, there's so much knowledge, so much information out there that, I mean, you could just put something on a YouTube or whatever, and then you'll get, you know, at least, you know, dozens and dozens or more of videos on how to do something. So, yeah, but the most important thing is about trying to get somebody into it that wants to, especially women that want to do it, and get them inspired to cook.
Have fun.
All about having fun.
Having fun.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of, you know, with the competition world, you're talking about Emily, you know, and she's got an uphill battle with KCBS. I adore her. She's amazing. I wouldn't want to be in her position. The competition barbecue, to a certain extent, is apexed and it's on the decline now. I think it's gotten to be a very expensive game. You're using designer meats all over the place, and that's what judges are used to eating.
Well, your cookers are 10,000 plus.
There are people that are winning on, you know, little Weber, like cheap little Weber kettles, things like that. There are people that are doing that. But the meat, a lot of times, when you're using designer Wagyu brisket or, you know, A9 brisket from Australia, where these briskets are $200 each, you've got designer pork, you've got organic chicken. It's an expensive game. But now we have the SEA, which is the State Cook-Off Association. And that is, like, I believe, really taking a lot of gas out of the competition barbecue, the four meat standard competition barbecue world, because people can pull up it's a one-day event, it's $150, you get two steaks, and you can cook it on anything you want.
Yep.
Gas, charcoal, wood, whatever.
Bonfire,
whatever.
Yeah.
You just have to turn it in, and there are, you know, rules that you have to stick by in terms of the steak. But you get the steaks, you don't have to provide your own. All you do is you can put everything in the back of a car, a little pop-up tent, a chair, cooler full of beer.
Yeah, you can cook it on a hibachi
table. People that cook it on, who was cooking on a little chimney with a little grill
grate.
Oh,
that was Vic.
You're just right on a chimney.
Yeah.
You don't even need a grill. You're just a little chimney. Anyway, that's taking a little bit of heat away from the big expensive four meat, you know, 2 day, you know, competition barbecue, where as you're pulling out of your driveway, you're already in the hole $1,500 between gas and meat and supplies and things. Anyway.
Okay. Speaking of being in trouble, it's that time, dear.
Uh-oh.
Lightning round. So David, insert the music right here.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Lay it on me, Jeff.
All right. What would you say your success to failure ratio is when you're creating a new dish or product?
Depends what you mean by success and failure. If it's edible and people like it, then it's a success. If it doesn't meet with your standards, then perhaps maybe it's a failure. I would say probably, and I'm my own harshest critic, I would say probably 70-30, 70 being success, 30% being failure.
Okay.
From a personal standpoint.
If you could cook for, then dine with, a historical figure, who would it be?
Oh, boy. Probably a historical figure.
Yeah, and what would the menu be?
Oh, good Lord. Okay, historical figure. Probably, Probably my all-time favorite drummer, which is Neil Peart from Rush, who just passed away. The menu would essentially be fish and chicken and grilled vegetables would all be open air. Very simplistic barbecue. Good grilling. Good and a good drink.
Sure.
A good Glencairn glass full of scotch, and we're good to go.
There you go. Have you smoked a penguin yet?
No.
Okay.
Or a puffin.
Okay. Good.
The list though.
Yeah. Did you see the guy smoking the camel?
Yes.
The whole camel.
The entire animal. Yeah. That was insane.
Yeah. I ate camel when I was in the Middle East. It's some chewy stuff.
I can imagine. I'd like to try it. I've never tried it.
Doesn't taste like chicken. I'll tell you that. What's the hottest new thing you've seen people cook?
Oh, the hottest thing, honestly, is tomahawk ribeyes. That's the hottest thing right now.
Let me interrupt you for a second. To me, that does nothing. That does nothing for me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, not just having been a cook for a long time, but mm-hmm. graduating with a Bachelor of Science degree, mm-hmm. that big bone, you're just paying for a big piece of bone.
It's a showcase thing. It's just a bone-in ribeye is all it is.
Yeah.
And a bone-in ribeye is a wonderful piece of meat.
Oh,
if cooked correctly. It really, honestly, it's just a showpiece. It's just a show-off thing. People charge a lot of money for it. You are paying a lot of money just for the bone.
Yep.
It is what it is, and people line up to buy it, and that's what it is. But that's what I've seen more than anything are steaks, which never really go out of style, but also the offcuts too, the offcut steaks, like lifter meat and flank steak and things like that that people don't generally cook. And then, of course, all the show-off pieces like that tomahawk ribeye.
Yeah, you look like Fred Flintstone out there.
Yeah, right? I know.
Okay.
Turns the car upside down.
If you could work with one of your barbecue heroes, except Bobby Flay, because you've already done that, who would it be?
Tuffy Stone.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
All right. So here's a good one for you. What does a fantasy day for Lene look like and contain for activities? A fantasy day.
Oh, my God. That's a loaded question.
I know it is.
All right.
And
so
you're blushing.
Okay. Fantasy day. Honestly, being with my sweetie in Maui, Hawaii, which is one of my favorite places on earth, hanging out and just listening to the ocean and grilling up some food and drinking some really good drinks. That's my fantasy day.
Okay.
It's one of my most favorite things to do.
What's your least favorite food to cook?
Anything canned for the, canned beans and canned, soups and things like that. That's probably my least. It's utilitarian and it works and it feeds you, but it's like my least favorite thing. I like fresh stuff.
I just did a thing on this morning for tomorrow. What's the difference between shrimp and prawns?
Location, I believe.
Yeah.
I think it's about coast. I think it's all nomenclature. I think, as a chef, a prawn and a shrimp are basically two of the same things. I don't think they're different.
Prawns are pretty much freshwater.
I think so. Location. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're, I wrote this one just for you because I've done a lot of TV and did some movies and stuff. How big of a pain in the butt is when you hear back to one?
Oh my God. That is such a pain in the butt. When you're on a roll, especially with the stuff that I've been doing, and you're on a roll, and then they make you do it over again, and then make you do it over again, and over again, and over again. It's like, oh my gosh, come on. A barbecue brawl, when the opening scene, when we were walking down that dirt path in that little town,
right.
They made us do that like 20 times. Okay, guys, back up.
Yep.
You do it again.
Back
okay, guys.
One.
And they had drones everywhere and cameras everywhere. And I'm like, goodness gracious, how many times does it take? But, and then all for 3 seconds of television.
Yep. Well, when you're doing a movie and they do it a lot, and then you kind of feel, and especially if one of the principal actors is flubbing a line,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have his movement right, turn his back to the camera, whatever, you hear that. And at first you get kind of irritated, and then you kind of actually feel sorry for the guy or gal because it's just not their day.
Yep.
Okay. A couple more before we got to go to break here in a minute. Dire Straits or Justin Bieber?
Oh, Dire Straits.
Okay.
Mark Knopfler, amazing guitarist.
Oh, yeah.
And singer.
Finished or grass-fed beef?
I'm going to go finished.
Okay.
Grass-fed's great, but I like finished.
Sweatshirts or formal wear?
Oh, sweatshirts all the way.
Okay. And last thing here, hardest thing about owning your own business?
It never leaves you. You're constantly there and you can't clock out at the end of the day. I'm learning that though. So that's the hardest thing about owning my own business. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Absolutely.
It's the most amazing, most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life.
Good lightning round, Lene. Very good. Lene thank and you. I are going to take a break, and thank you for listening so far, but we will be back in just a couple minutes right here on Barbecue Nation. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Dave, Chris, and Lene Oxley Loop with us today from Sugar's Barbecue up in the great state of Washington. The state that has no income tax, state income tax, but has a sales tax. So you be the judge.
Yeah, and you have to pump your own gas, which is fine by me.
You know what? There's only two states left, I think, us in Vermont or something, where they pump your gas for you, and I don't like it. I'd rather get out, pump my own gas, and get the hell out of there.
That's what I grew up doing that, and it's a little hard habit to break. But you know, when I lived in Portland and visit Portland often, obviously, it's sometimes I want to get out of my car and just pump gas, and they're like, "No, ma'am, you can't do that.
You can't do that here. All right, can't do that here.
It's jobs. They're jobs.
Yeah, so. It's jobs, I'm but it's not that many jobs.
Yeah,
is the thing. You know, for all the gas stations we have. Anyway, we digress. Sugars. Not sugars like your blood sugars or anything, but I hold in my hand right now, folks, a premium bottle of Rodeo Candy. That's not the same Rodeo Candy that when I was back doing that stuff that we had. This is barbecue sauce, okay? And it's good stuff. I recommend it for you. I've had it before, and Lene graciously brought me a couple of bottles, which I do not intend on sharing with anybody except who's in my household. But that's not your only product.
No. So I've got the Rodeo Candy, like you spoke of. I also have my other sauce, which is the Campfire Dreams, which is a mustard-based molasses sauce.
Kind of a Carolina-type thing?
Kind of a Carolina-inspired sauce.
Yes.
And, but even people that don't like mustard-based sauce try that sauce and end up really liking it. I also have currently four rubs on the market now. I have a Serious Bull, which is my kind of beef-oriented rub. Mm-hmm. I have a Cluckin' Awesome for poultry. I have an Oink and Holler for pork. I also have an American All-Star, which is my brand new rub. That's an all-purpose seasoning, which is great. They all work independently. They all work together. My products are packaged and bottled locally in Portland, and really proud of that. Small batch made. They're clean labeled. There's no MSG. There's no high fructose corn syrup. They are chef-driven products. I have spent years making these products, and very proud to have them. They're available on my website, sugarsbarbecue.com. You can order, and I can ship anywhere. You can also find them at New Seasons Markets. You can also find them at Ace and high school pharmacies in the Portland, Vancouver area. I just got on with distribution, so I'm going to be spreading these products all over the West Coast.
Spread the word.
And I love it. And really, really proud of the product line. You can find them at Meeting Place in Hillsboro. You can find them at Dwight's Country Meats. So if you do not see it at your butcher shop, ask for Sugar's Barbecue products, and they will get them in for you.
There you go. It works for me.
Thank you.
Works for me.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I really like this. And
you know, I tell people, Jeff, you know, if I didn't, you know, I don't like to cook what I don't eat.
Right.
I'm not going to put something in a bottle and sell it if I can't stand behind it 100%. And so these are an extension of who I am as a chef, who I am as a cook. And I think I've just gotten nothing but positive reviews from everything, from all the products. And so I'm really excited about getting these products a little bit further out.
Cool. You were talking about the Carolina kind of influenced sauce. Mm-hmm. We've got Robert Moss, who writes for Southern Living.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming on in a couple of weeks because he just did a new piece about South Carolina being divided into sections via sauce. And he just did a piece about how those divisions should now go away. Because
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
You know, that. So,
and they are, to a certain extent, they are.
Yeah,
you know, people think about, when they think about Alabama sauces, they think of like a white sauce, right?
Yeah,
white
Big
barbecue
Bob.
Sauce. Big Bob Gibson's and his dad kind of came up with that sauce. Not all of Alabama uses that sauce. Not all of South Carolina uses, a mustard-based sauce.
Right.
Not all of North Carolina uses a vinegar-based sauce. It is so homogenized now and so mixed up and so blended that you can find any kind of sauce anywhere you want. And, you know, but there are those intricate pockets that people are just the tried and true. They stick with what they know and, you know, and that's what they do and that's what they grew up with and they don't veer from it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's real easy. The one thing I like about your sauce is that I can always tell when somebody's taken a little bit of extra time to, because I've done this stuff. and they've taken that little bit of extra time to tweak it and make it right. And, you know, the love, if you want to put it that way, that you put in the work and the sauce, it shows up. So
thank you. I appreciate
it. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. And then, like you said, these are premium products. They're not cheap. They're really good, but I think the price points are great for what you get. And also you're supporting a local company, which is in a small business, which is really good.
Yeah. It's all good. Well, thank you for being on the radio part of the show. And now we're going to go switch over and do the after hours right after this.
So perfect. Thank
your,
you so much,
Your eyes
Jeff.
Just got really big.
I love the after hours. It's great. Jeff, it's always a pleasure hanging out with you for a while and talking trash and drinking mash kind of thing.
You notice how she quantified that, hanging out with you for a while. See, it only takes so much of me. I know, right? I can get that. We're going to be back next week. In fact, we got another hour coming up here. But I can't remember who's on the show for the second hour. So anyway, that's what happens when you get old and you drool.
Is that what I have to look forward to?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's perfect.
Lene, actually, Luke, Sugar's Barbecue, thank you for being with us, folks. Stick around for the second hour, the stations that carry that. And then check us out online on SoundCloud. And what are we on? iHeart and Apple and platforms. There's just lots of platforms. Anyway, we'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Until then, go out and cook something and have a good time. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.